The 10 o'clock hour of Will and Tausch
begins now.
And it begins where I wanted to begin yesterday. But hey, you can't always get what you want. This, to me, was the most interesting thing that came out of Goody's Q&A session with us on Monday. 31 minutes, lots of questions, lots of answers, but this one fascinated me because I will admit, when he said that they're good at wide receiver, he's not concerned about that position, doesn't feel like it's a need, I was like, well, of course he's going to say that. All he did in free agency was add Mecole Hardman. He's got to say that. He didn't even call Davante Adams. I don't know if you've heard that. When he said that we've got everything we need up front on the defensive line, I thought, well, he's got to say that. They didn't add anybody in free agency on the defensive line. Then he had about six edge rushers and defensive tackles come in for pre-draft visits. But when he said this Monday, it just hit different. Here's Goody talking about where his team stands right now in April.
You know, you get the Javon Walker question every year, but do you think you're looking at the position any differently this year because of the visits you had and maybe where your roster is at that position?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel really good about our roster right now. I mean, I think that's one of the it doesn't happen every year. I mean, every year is a little bit different, but like, you know, if we had to go play next week, I feel really good about our roster and our ability to win and go compete. So really across the board. So, you know, hopefully as this draft unfolds, we're able to just kind of sit back and select the best players that fall to us. I mean, that'll be, you know, I think something we prepare ourselves to be in. So, no, I don't think we've looked at it really any differently than other than certainly if there's an opportunity to take a player at that position that makes sense, we'll do it. But I don't think we feel like we need to do anything.
So that question was specifically about wide receivers. But Tausch, I thought the way he pivoted it to discuss his roster as a whole and this idea that, hey, if they had to play a game this week, I feel really good about it. That sounded more than just like blowing sunshine to me. And I think if you look at it from the view of everything he's done to this point, not being so-called urgent in free agency, adding a road grading guard and a corner to supplement a position of need, I think he really does. I think he's a true believer that he's got a really good roster. And that he believes that all these guys that were waiting for them to make the big jump are going to make the jump. And they are good enough to be a Super Bowl team no matter what they do with these eight picks they have. Do you think I'm misreading him or do you agree?
No. You're not misreading him. That's what he should believe. And that's cute that he believes it. Does Matt LaFleur believe that? You're the LaFleur guy on this panel. Does Matt LaFleur believe what Brian Gutekunst just said there? Does Matt LaFleur believe that? Does Matt LaFleur believe that last year's... Because in essence, what you're saying is, we added two players that are going to be contributors. Hopefully, Mecole Hardman can do some things too. So three that you know are going to be on this roster, or at least you believe, with Hobbs, with Banks, and with Hardman. And is that enough without these draft picks coming, which is what Goody is saying. We're good enough. Gosh darn it. We think we can win.
People like us.
That's what Goody should believe because it's his team. Mm-hmm. He has bought all the groceries in. He thinks we got a heck of a meal plan going, but we need somebody that can cook this bad boy up. Does Matt LaFleur look at this and say, you know what, Jason, I can put you a Michelin star 5 spot on you here because we have the stuff? Or does he think, we don't even have an oven that works. Where is he at?
Well, I don't think he's in the we don't have an oven that works crowd. Now, again, I do not want to speak for Matt LaFleur. But I think he's dropped enough, dare I say, breadcrumbs that
it hurts every time I hear that.
He believes that with Josh Jacobs and the tight end group he has repeatedly suggested that this offense will run through the running back and the tight end position. Well, what does that mean? To me, that means that he doesn't think he has what he needs at wide receiver for it to be a, hey, let's have Jordan Love sling it all over the field because we got so many great wide receivers at our disposal. Now, that's me interpreting what he's saying about his vision of the offense. That is not him telling me, God, Jace, our wide receivers, like, they didn't make the jump. I don't know any of those guys that I can really trust. The one guy I really like is Christian Watson, and he's out till November. Because you're a doctor, Jason, and you're right. He's going to be gone till at least November. Like, that's how I interpret it. Am I flawed in that interpretation?
That's what's frustrating. I asked you a question, and you kind of answered, but you didn't. I think that's where he's at. I don't know.
I thought I completely answered the question.
I wanted you to say, no, I don't think he thinks this is the roster, or yes, I think he thinks this roster can win a championship. That was kind of what I was hoping, which way you'd go, and I didn't care which way you went, but I don't think Matt LaFleur does believe what Goody just said there. I think Matt LaFleur doesn't think his receivers are good enough, as we currently sit. So that's what I think he is. I don't know. I think Goody thinks we have enough stuff. We are going to be really good here, and if we're not, I don't know what to tell you. Now, he's going to obviously add more talent and hopefully improve that, and you know, hopefully Matt LaFleur looks at it and says, yeah, we're a lot better now out on the perimeter, because in today's NFL, yes, you want to have a great running game. Yes, you love having a tight end that can be a playmaker. I don't know any coach that's like, yeah, if our tight ends and running game stink, we're not going to be very good. I just don't know anybody that views it that way. Goody believes this team underachieved last year. That's very clear with his comments and things. I don't think he viewed it as, we didn't have enough talent last year. And then when I hear Matt LaFleur say, we played sloppy and weren't getting... Did this team get better? This has been a staple of Green Bay Packer football under Ron, under Ted, under Goody. Is your young players take a little time. And now with less training camp, etc., there is a big jump that you see from the game in September after Labor Day to your mid-December game. There's a lot of players that have gotten a lot better. And I think for the first time in a while, I didn't see that last year. Was there a time that you thought, man, has this group gotten a lot better? Defensively, I would say yes. But on offense, did you think this group took any big jump from what we saw in Brazil to what we saw against the Chicago Bears?
No.
At the end of the year?
No.
And I think Goody ain't real happy.
But also, how much of that is the quarterback who we crowned at the end of 2023 and who dealt with injuries and the drop? Look, and he deserves the benefit of the doubt to some degree too, because guys dropped a lot of passes and he dealt with an injury. But as a whole, even though they finished in the top 10 offensively, it didn't feel like they did, right? It didn't feel like when I told you the number of explosive plays they had last season,
shocking.
You were flabbergasted because it didn't feel like they were that good offensively. You didn't do the post game, the Green Bay game night program, feeling like, wow, what a tour de force performance offensively. Was there a game you felt that way? And the answer from you was no. So what exactly do we make about what they are offensively then? And who do we blame for them not being better?
Well, I'm not going to blame anybody. I just, you
kinda
literally,
seem like you want to.
And again, we have not had Matt LaFleur on the show, but I would love to hear if he believes that what they had last year was good enough, they just didn't execute, or if you're looking at it and saying, yeah, we didn't have enough perimeter talent to do what I wanted to do, you know, especially when Watson got hurt, to stretch the field, to do some of the things that we got we got kind of boxed in. This is what we needed to do. And when you have to be a 16, 17 play drive, there are a lot of drives last year that were 14 plays plus, which is great, but it's not sustainable. Then there were a lot of three and outs. And I'd rather see some explosives, some 7 and 8 play touchdown drives, because the NFL. the more you have to execute, the more things can go wrong. The fact that we were as explosive as we are is a great sign. I think what we're seeing is a difference of opinion as far as Brian Gutekunst, is he overvaluing the groceries that he put on Matt LaFleur's big old counter? And as Matt LaFleur said, I'm doing the best I can with what the groceries are. I have a lot. I got a lot of things that are that we can put. We got our meat and potatoes, but am I doing anything that's going to add? I don't know how he feels about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know from a Packer fan standpoint, I think more people would lean on, I think Matt LaFleur's done a good job. I don't think Goody's got enough good groceries on their table.
Tomato, tomato, differences of opinion. Good enough talent, not good enough coaching. Good coaching, not enough talent to coach. Limitations to the players. Again, big year for a lot of people in 2025. I want to get to, speaking of wide receivers, again, I believe, and I'm happy to be proven wrong, at 23, I want there to be a wide receiver that they had in for a visit to be available at 23 tomorrow night and see if Goody takes him or not. I don't know if that's going to be the case. So I asked Goody if he would be willing to trade up some of those assets to go get, say, a wide receiver. We'll hear that answer coming up after I tell you that if you're making a first-round pick when it comes to needing legal representation because you've been injured in an accident, there is only one pick to make, and that pick is Grubelofsis. One call, that's all. One pick to make, one call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666, or go to the website, gruber-law.com. Grubelofsis, one call, that's all. We're hearing more from Goody next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
He's got a Chevrolet that don't always run and the radio never turns down. He's got a pedigree that's no good.
So would Goody, who only has eight picks, and when I say only, obviously every team starts with seven, one in each round. He has added, traded away his seventh round pick, wisely, for Malik Willis, reacquired a seventh round pick for Preston Smith, and then got an extra seventh round pick as a compensatory pick. So he only has eight picks. Four of his seven drafts to this point, double-digit number of picks, including 13 last year. What is he going to do to increase that number? But is he willing to give up, especially a premium pick, to move up in the first round to get a Teteroa McMillan? I think not. Here's how Goody answered that question.
How special would a player have to be for you to be willing to use premium picks to go up to get them, as opposed to, and missing out on those, because you get a lot of good players in the second and third rounds.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's an, you know, it's a two for one, right? So he's got to be a pretty good player, and he's got to, you know, I think he's certainly got to fit a vision that we have for him that could come in right away and be productive. But at the same time, I mean, there's those players do become available, and we're certainly not, you know, it's not like we wouldn't do it, but I do think it's a two for one, you know, and when you're talking about premium picks, those, you know, first, second, third, maybe even fourth round type picks, you're expecting those guys to be good players, right? So if you're going to do it, it's got to be a player worth that.
That doesn't sound like a guy that's giving up a second or third round pick to move up to take a wide receiver in the first round. Am I right?
No, you are right. I just wonder. You know, it would be fantastic for Green Bay to get aggressive and go get a Travis Hunter, you know, go big. I think Packer fans would love that, but you love that for the moment. The draft history, how many teams, the second, third, fourth round picks, they're so vital to your football team, and the Packers know that better than anybody. you know, Ron Wolf, I can remember, you know, as a fan, as a young, both high school and then a collegiate player, just remembering, you know, all of those picks on that team, William Henderson and Free and Robert Brooks, all of those guys that played such a critical role in winning a championship, you have that give and take. Now, the cereal discussion from last week that I know everybody thought was real fun, and I loved it, it illustrated the point you made of how many great players are on this roster. Because I can't remember watching a Super Bowl team hoist up trophies with a lot of good players. Now, mm-hmm. You have good players, but the great players are up on that stage, holding that trophy, putting a belt around them, firing that. That's how you end up in those positions. And right now, you can make an argument that the Green Bay Packers are very limited in that number of great players. Hopefully some emerge in that role, but you need to continue to build and bring in players, but you do need to find some big boy impact players. You found two via free agency last year. I don't know if you could say that you found any in drafts as of late. You have hopes that there are, but that was a very telling conversation we had last week in that it made you think, A, what kind of cereal you like, but B, who are those great players that this team has? And Philadelphia had a bunch. San Francisco's fallen short and have had a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City has a few, but, man, they have them in the right spots. Green Bay needs to acquire and find more great players, whether it's their players developing or via free agency. They started that. Hopefully they continue on that path, and hopefully we find somebody. But I think a lot of us would love if Goody went and pushed like Ted Thompson did in the one occasion, and that one move, I don't think anybody thinks we win a championship without Clay Matthews.
Agreed. No doubt
move,
about it. Mm-hmm.
That move happened because he was aggressive, and he got the right guy. Would it have been the case if T.J. Watt had been drafted ahead of Kevin King? Would there be another pelt on the wall from 2020?
Another banner.
I'd hate to say I think he probably – it'd be hard to say no. It'd be hard to say no.
I saw David Bakhtiari was tweeting yesterday, by the way, about a couple of things, and it reminded me again.
Big nuclear energy guy I've been seeing.
Yeah,
a lot of nuclear stuff.
Big nuke guy, yeah.
He must be getting in the nuclear game.
I did think it reminded me that here's a guy who... Boy, if for all the criticism we delivered for them not winning at home in the NFC Championship game against Brady, that if he plays in that game, maybe that's the only thing that needs to be different. Or maybe no COVID and there's actual fans beyond you and Max and 1,000 other people in the stands for it.
Or had Green Bay been aggressive and picked up Tristan Wirfs instead of Jordan Love, Tristan Wirfs, big right tackle, he could have played. He's now one of the best left tackles in the game. There's a lot of what ifs in this world.
Or Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, you're right. All right, we need to get to Homer.
What was your point on D-Buck? Just that if he didn't get hurt, they'll win a championship?
Yeah, seeing him tweeting about nuclear energy,
Nukes, I think,
maybe he's the one thing that's all you need to change about 2020.
Yeah, but even with all that said, that team, even with David being hurt, that was a team that should have won a championship.
Yeah, but don't – so, again, in fairness, and I know you and Max did your part. You were banging the sign on the metal bleachers. You're trying – but, like, they finally get an NFC championship game at home with Aaron Rodgers – as the quarterback after the other three he'd played in had been on the road. And it was not, there was very little to no home field advantage.
But let me tell you this, too, and this is not going to be a popular opinion, but I said in that, I mean, Lord knows that was a tough stretch for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But leading into that season, I said, this is going to be a huge positive. They played Minnesota on the road.
It's true.
Which wasn't a road game.
Silence.
And
yeah.
I thought Aaron Rodgers without crowd noise and being able to manipulate and do all the stuff. And he has went on and said that was a huge advantage to him. And he thought that he should have been at 80% completion because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we end up hosting all those games if there wasn't the crowds that were in play that year. So you can't have it one way and then say, well, it would have been great if 80,000 fans. I don't think they're in that spot if there's 80,000 fans at all these other spots. It was a huge advantage to the G&G and Aaron Rodgers, and he said that himself many times. That season was so easy for him because it was like playing pitch and catch.
What a great point by you. Also, what
and by the way, it was not, it was granted, it was not raucous, but we made a lot of noise beating as steel bleachers
steel
with those
drum?
Things.
Do, 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 do. No, no steel drum.
There was a good advantage at Lambeau that day that was not taken advantage of. Not the same degree, I'm not arguing that, but it was not like the sanitary stadiums we saw throughout the season that year. Believe that.
I believe that. I also believe that if you got an ugly
can't
shower.
Can't give up a touchdown. Can't give up a touchdown before the end of the half.
Yeah, that was bad.
Kevin King.
And Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones fumbling that football.
Not
huge.
Good either. Yeah. Not good. None of those things are
three
good.
Three turnovers by Tom Brady and three and outs when we had a chance to go win the blanking game.
Not good either.
Not great either. That ain't crowd noise, my friend. It ain't.
Well, I wasn't blaming you and Max specifically for not being loud enough.
No, but you were kind of saying if there were 80,000 folks in the stands, and I disagree with that, the sentiment of that because of how that season played.
I'm sure you could have been louder, though.
Well, we had a pretty good little thumping going on.
Pretty good thumping. Could you tell us about your contest with Kohler Services, please?
Certainly I can. If you think your shower sucks, you think it's ugly and stank and moldy, upload a photo to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest for a chance to win a free shower remodel. You heard me correctly. One lucky fan will win a free shower remodel from Kohler Services, including design consultation, demolition, and removal of your existing shower or bath, and installation of a brand new Lugstone shower. What's so funny?
Jesse showed
we've got some new nominees.
Some wallpaper.
Yeah.
Looks like the Serengeti.
This is my favorite so far. If I was on ESPN Bet for the ugly shower contest with Kohler Services, the safari wallpaper on this one is my clubhouse leader right now. Yeah, I have a vote.
I'm with you. I like
well,
that.
Well, and
one.
There's a bunch of bobbleheads off to the right hand side too of that. That's weird to have bobbleheads in the shower. I think we can get better. There are a lot of showers up here that Jesse is putting up. I want them stankier. I want them even a little more disgusting than what we've seen. That's what I'd like. So would Kohler. We want to get demolition and removal of that stank shower. And you get that installation
of a
brand new Kohler Lugstone shower. Upload your photo by April 30th to goodkarmabrands.com/Wisconsin contest for your chance to win a brand new Lugstone shower from Kohler.
Use the app. That's the easiest way to upload it. Or scan the QR code. Either way, get that ugly shower photo uploaded and you may win from Kohler Services. Uncle Homer joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Whatever you do, make sure you do it right. You know what that music is. He's the host of the Homer Hour. The best 60 minutes of your day, or at least so they claim. across ESPN Wisconsin. He's also the voice of Marquette Men's Basketball. And, of course, he's the co-host of God Talk, My Faith with Homer and Pip. It is Steve the Homer True on Wilde and Tausch. Homer, do you have, first of all, happy draft eve. Do you have draft fever as you get ready to come on up for the draft here in Green Bay?
I have draft fever because I can't believe that they're actually having the draft in Green Bay. So that, I feel like I'm at a once-in-a-lifetime thing, which I discovered last night helping out the event for the scouts. The guest speaker was Ted Kellner. And I'm mentioning this mostly to Tausch because, of course, his incredible Wisconsin.
You talking about NFL scouts or Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts. Well, it's not actually.
Oh,
Boy
I thought
Scouts.
You meant NFL
it's
scouts.
Scouts
like, shouldn't they be watching film?
Yes, okay. They should be. But Ted Kellner was the keynote speaker, and I learned that the most famous day in the history of U.S. sports. What would you say is the most famous day in the history of U.S. sports?
Miracle on Ice.
Oh, the Olympics, Lake Placid. Yep.
Not even close. Wow. Not even close. Jesse Owens sets 4 world records on May 25th, 1935.
Old Testament, as you like to say. That was before Wisconsin's first national championship in basketball, which you constantly poo-poo.
Yes, it's guilty as charged. Old Testament. Yes, I'm not arguing. Big Ten championships. Jesse Owens is a sophomore. 4 world records. However, in
wait
the
a minute.
Yes.
Like he wins gold medals in front of Hitler. Like he did so many more things beyond the Big Ten championships
Not the Big Ten championships. He set 4 world records within an hour. That's the key. That it was at the Big Ten championships is important because that's where Ted Kellner comes in.
Ted Kellner was there? He's that old?
No, he's not. But around the world, people would say the most famous hour in the history of United States sports, 4 world records set in an hour by Jesse Owens. That was a year before he did the Olympics. I mean, it's never even been close to being done. However, in the state of Wisconsin, the history is in an hour, in the same hour, the greatest hour of U.S. sports, Jack Kellner, Ted Kellner's dad, won the high hurdles, and Jesse Owens set 4 world records. Now, no other place in the world presents it in that manner, but that's a fact. Jack Kellner won the high hurdles, and Jesse Owens made 4 new world records in an hour. Nothing by a Wisconsin athlete is ever the equal of being part of something so historic. Mark Johnson, the on ice is probably, not Old Testament, but.
Homer, what was it like to interview Jesse Owens? Was it anything like your interview with John McEnroe or different?
Never interviewed him. My greatest interview was Abraham. Very good shortstop. People, remember all the Old Testament stuff, but he was a very underrated baseball player, and he was good. He was good. Noah could hit, but really couldn't field a lick, so I just don't put him on the list. Because clearly you're going Old Testament. No, I'm trying to think the oldest person I ever interviewed. That's a great question. I'll have to think on that one. Me.
So are you excited about the draft or not?
I don't think it's as big as learning that the greatest sports day in the history of this country included Jack Kellner and Jesse Owens, not necessarily in that order. I'm excited because I'm going to tell you there's a very good chance that the Packers will take Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, North Dakota State. The concern
is that what Ted Kellner told you?
No, this is my draft source, my guy. And, of course, the key that makes me think it could happen is because he was the star in the Senior Bowl, which I believe has a great connection to draft. The problem is he might be gone. because I am now the who's this guy? Peter. He used to be on the NFL Network.
Peter Schrager.
Schrags.
P. Schrags.
He's now with ESPN, and I mean, I'm guessing he's pretty good on the draft. Is he any good? Is his track record any good?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He's a smart
guy. He has Seattle taking him with 18, and he could go as high as 12, but he'll be a lock. A lock. If he's available at 23, he will be the next Brian Bulaga. So he's the guy, but he might be gone. If gone, I'm stealing this one from Peter Schrager. He says Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas.
So
I don't know what you know about him. I don't know anything.
Yeah, he's fast. Yeah, he's fast. He's one of the three that they had in for visits. So those are all signs that would point to he'd be someone that they'd be interested in. Now, I do think it's noteworthy, and I just sent this over to Tausch and to Jesse. Teteroa McMillan is doing a camp along with Cam Ward and some other first-round hopefuls over at Titletown right now. And he said, and I'm quoting from a tweet by Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, asked about the Packers by the reporters that are surrounding him. "They've been showing me nothing but love throughout this whole draft process." Later, then, in the conversation, he also adds, "I feel like I could fit in any offense well, but this one specifically, yeah."
No, I just want to let you know. This is my source on this is me. There is 0% chance. I know you love these, Jason. There's 0% chance that he's available. Not going to happen.
But your draft guy is not you, because Josh DiMaggio just told me that your draft guy is a bozo. But you're not. You're not your own draft guy. You're telling me you have someone else, and it's not Peter Schrager either.
It's not Peter Schrager.
Where do they think McMillan's going, Jason? Where do people have him going, this guy? Because there's a lot of smoke here. There's a lot of smoke.
There is a lot of smoke.
So where is he going? How early is he going?
I'm not Mel Kiper, but all the mock drafts, which are, again, every mock draft under the sun last year seemed to have Cooper DeJean going to the Packers.
And Homer said he ain't going to be there. And then he was there in the second round, and we still passed on him.
My point is that just because teams have a player pegged in a certain spot doesn't mean that that is exactly where he'll go. Right. But the consensus is that Teteroa McMillan will be gonzo by the time the Packers are on the clock. Yes. Whether or not that turns out to be right, I don't know.
Yeah, I take no responsibility for anything said about
you. You don't take any responsibility for anything.
I do, all the time. Anything else I predict or say. For example, I'm going down to Pottawatomie today to bet on the Bucks to win the series. I'm not betting a lot, but I'm betting some. I think they have a chance to win. People have forgotten what George Karl said. A series doesn't start until someone wins on the road. Has anybody won on the road?
What the hell did I watch last night? The series, that game didn't count last night?
What? No, it counts, sure. But it doesn't
start. You just said it didn't start. If some hadn't started, it's not going.
Correct. It hasn't started. You're right, yes.
Okay, so it's 0-0.
Games at home,
okay.
And then it'll be 2-2, and now you got a best-of-three series.
So there's no way, Homer. So there is no way, if you're not getting big odds, you're not going down there, or you're going to go head over to Rockford, which is what I would recommend. You're not going to do that and say,
"Oh, did I mess up again? Oh man."
No, if it's even up, Homer. What kind of odds do you need? Because you're not taking this straight up when I'm being down 2-0. You need 5-1. What do you need? So I don't know how confident you are.
Look up what the odds are. I'm taking whatever they
are. You look it up. You got a phone. You look it up. What do you need
to
make that wager?
I'm using my phone to talk to you.
That's fair. 10-1? Like, they're big dogs. What do you need?
I would say it's probably – hold on. I'll use my series Bucks Pacers odds. All right, because I got my desktop here.
This is dynamite radio right here.
You started.
I'm not.
It.
I don't even. Well, Homer, I don't care what the. I'm saying well, for you to go down there. You're not.
Bucks are plus 155.
That's nothing.
Vegas still. That's nothing. Vegas still believes in the Bucks because they understand. Oh, it says a note here. Remember George Karl. A series doesn't start until someone wins on the road. Oh, okay. Thanks.
I'm sure George Karl's part of the.
Yeah, it is.
You're not you're not driving over there to get a plus 155.
Yes.
You need 5 to 1 on that minimum.
No, I'm going over there. My bet will not be large, but yes, I'm betting on. I'm betting yes.
All right. You do what you want to do, but
fine.
You don't
believe
think
in him at
right
all?
Now. You think if you had to just straight up Bucks Pacers, you're going to still think the Bucks.
I'm at about 45%. Just about.
So you think Pacers? So you think Pacers?
Flip of the coin. No, I'll take the Bucks.
Well, no.
I don't want to be.
45% in?
No, I'm at 51%. Bucks, 51%. Well, that's why I'm happy to get plus 155. You want to bet?
All right.
What do you want to bet? I'll bet you. I'll take the Bucks.
We can't
bet.
There's rules and regulations in place that you can't do that. I'll meet you in Rockford. We'll have a discussion. I'll meet you in Rockford. We'll have a discussion.
Hold on. This is so good. My friend wants to bet your friend. What is your friend willing to bet taking the Pacers? Of course, it's no connection to you, just a friend. What would your friend
if that was the case, even up, I would be fine even up if I'm taking
the Pacers. Your friend, how much? How much does your friend? You,
well,
of course,
I can't. Again, we can't do that.
I'll
meet
friend,
you.
It's not you.
No, I understand. My friend, listen, Homer, my friend and I will meet you in Rockford. We're going to meet you in Rockford. All right, hey, Homer, is there any spot that the Packers would draft that you'd
be
disappointed?
Oh, man. God, I could never be on a show.
What?
Yes, go ahead. Jason, would you explain to Tausch that my friend can bet his friend on
this show? Getting talked all over. Is this what it's like, Jason, when you get talked all over? It's annoying.
Imagine what it's like to be on the show with both of you at the same time. All right, first of all, we got lots of great partners. We love Hard Rock Casino in Rockford. We also we love other partners that are fantastic as well. So just take a beat.
I got American Place Casino near Chicago too. My partner
and
I
Quick Trip.
Care of them.
And Woodman's has great gas prices, but.
Let's take care of mine.
Let's just all meet on Prize Picks and call it a day.
Your show.
Secondly, I don't know what the two of you Bickersons are bickering about, but I did hear Tausch trying to ask a question about the draft as we moved forward from your wagering on Bucks Pacers.
Okay, and good. All right, question. I'm ready.
Now Tausch has forgotten what the question is, and we're just going to say goodbye to you.
It's not part of an argument.
It's time.
So
it's 10:57. We're good. Yeah, we're good.
Homer, I will talk to you later today.
Remember the name, Gray Zabel. Remember that name?
Yeah, I've seen the I've seen some tape of him, highlights for a center, and I know that he is the best center in the draft. Whether or not he's available when the Packers are on the clock, we'll have to wait and see. We look forward to seeing.
If Sanders was available at 23, would you take him, the quarterback?
If who?
Deion's kid.
Shador Sanders.
No, I would hope that somebody would want to come up and take Shador Sanders for me, and I could accumulate more picks. No, I'm not picking
Shador
Sanders.
What about in the second round if Jalen Milroe is available to you?
To me?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm all on board with making things interesting. You draft a quarterback, you've made things very interesting. No doubt about it. Because there's no reason to draft one. Right? If you believe in Jordan Love and you like your backup quarterback,
you're
going to
need a backup
Willis,
after next year. Malik's going to be getting a big old payday. You got to keep winning games for the G&G.
We'll see if he gets more opportunities.
Your friend, they will not take a quarterback before the seventh round, if at all.
I would agree with you. I think fifth round or after, I would agree with you.
All right. Homer, I'll talk to you later. This has been enlightening. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
Greatest day in American sports, May 25th.
Miracle on ice.
Bye.
Indeed. Bye. Tausch, I'm going to give you dealer's choice. You can talk about
Hard Rock Casino. I'll tell you what, if you're vibing, Casino. If you are vibing and you think the Bucks are going to come back and win, okay, or you think the Pacers are a lock stocker,
okay,
if you like the Lakers, Timberwolves, a beautiful part is one of our favorite new partners, the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. And, boy, I was on it last night.
You had
it. Knew that the Lakers were going to win. Knew the Lakers were going to win. That was like a gimme. Oklahoma City, bam, boop, 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 all. And you know what? If you're hungry, Hard Rock Casino's got a bunch of different diverse dining options down there. Council Oak Steaks and Seafood, Bricked Italian Kitchen, the Noodle Bar, great street tacos, constant grind. Head on down. Again, go down Highway 90. Like you're driving on it here. Just look off to the left side of the road, and you will see a big, bold, beautiful, golden purple guitar sparkling, telling you, come on in.
Wow.
Right off to the left-hand side of the road down there in Rockford. Head on in. It is a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois.
We send in Ma for the heat tonight, plus 12 and a half on the road.
No, it's got to be something big to send Ma down there. It'll have to be something big.
And send her every day?
Okay,
that's fair.
No.
I don't know what we're doing. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
The NFL Draft.
I feel like I'm the best player in the country.
Live from historic Lambeau Field.
With the first pick.
From the first pick to mystery relevant.
Brock Purdy, a quarterback.
It all begins Thursday, April 24th on ESPN Radio.
We have breaking news from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you recall, there was some conjecture on this program that with Sterling Sharp headed to the Hall, that the Green Bay Packers, after LaFleur made that comment about starting the offseason program, which started on Monday in the virtual realm, but then also cutting them loose a week early, we thought maybe, hello Canton, which I think the last time they were there, they had that painting incident, and they didn't actually play the game.
We've had a lot of preseason issues with the fields.
Yeah, not as, and then there was Winnipeg, where the Clinkster dug a big hole in the field, and they had problems with that, and they deactivated 33 guys but told the other guys, hey, the field's not safe, but you're gonna play anyway. You're not important enough for us not to play you. The Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Chargers will be the Pro Football Hall of Fame game on Thursday, July 31st.
Ugh.
Well, we had one of the teams right.
We did say that, yes, with Antonio Gates going in. By the way, I was looking this up yesterday. The NFL season is starting on September 4th. Is Labor Day early this year?
I think Labor Day is the first.
Okay, yeah. That's an early, that feels about a week earlier than normal, but I guess it depends on where Labor Day falls. So
Labor Day is the first this year, so that is the earliest you get.
Thank you, Jesse Nelson.
They doing another Friday game in Brazil then beforehand, or is that?
I'll have to fact check that. They announced a bunch of that at the NFL meetings last month. I will fact check that. Why don't you tell us about Prize Picks
so we
can check in on our poll question at the start of the 11 o'clock hour before we get to our second and third rounds of trivia.
Great night on Prize Picks for me. I sent my picks over to Jesse. He didn't goblin a couple, but I took my sports opinions and I made a little bit of cash last night. Giannis, more, no doubt. Dalla Dame, less, no doubt. Doncic, I think he had it beat in the first quarter. Boom.
Early
done.
Fourth, but yeah.
Brooke Lopez, lower. Bam. No problems. And then Austin Reaves, a sneaky fellow out there in Vegas, out with the Los Angeles Lakers. Barely. He was the tough
sneaky
one for
rascal.
Me last night. But a good night on Prize Picks for Old T. It is the best place to get real money sports action. Turn your opinions, which I give on this show every day, into real cash. Can win up to 2,000 times your money. Prize Picks is the best place to win while watching sports. And now I just sent Jesse over. They have some fun little draft things going on. Mel Kiper saying certain words. How many Big Ten players are going to get picked? Where does Shedeur Sanders go? It's a fun little game. It is free to enter. And all you have to do, again, download the app. Use that code WI to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. And you got big action tonight. I think Golden State's playing. I'm looking for Houston to bounce back in a big way tonight. I think the Warriors are going to get beat pretty heavily tonight. That's what I think. Let's see what you have to think. Prize Picks, you run your game, and Old T will run his game, and we'll see how it all plays out. Prize Picks, run your game.
So, for future reference, first of all, the draft thing is really fun. We're going to do Prize Picks of the Week tomorrow at the Trio with Prize fun. Picks draft projects. That's going to be so fun.
That'll be really fun.
When you send me your picks, when I say, hey, I want to share with everybody what your picks are, you need to tell me when you're taking the goblin guy, because otherwise I'm not going to say you're taking the goblin guy. I'm going to assume you're picking it like normal, not at a reduced value. So I followed your advice, and I went 3 out of 4 because your sneaky guy, Reaves, didn't get it done on his regular projected number.
No, he did, though. On mine, he did.
Yes, because you took the goblin, which was like 5 points less at a reduced value. So you gotta give some people a heads up when you're
going to do that. Yeah, it was only 13.5. I goblined him, and I goblined Doncic at 24.5. And Giannis, I went Dame straight up. Pascal Siakam, I went him more. I had a great – one of my better Prize Picks nights in a long time.
Peninsula Pascal.
Pascal Siakam.
By the way, Rollins, Marcus Johnson on there is so funny. He is good.
That Pacers guy with
after,
the sign.
Yeah, he was getting after the old I think he called him an old geezer.
Grandpa.
Dude, I'm going to tell you this. NBA playoff – if the NBA could just wreck – and I know playoff basketball is different. I get that. But that was a fun watch. The intensity, the smack talk, the competitive fire – that was great. Even though Milwaukee stunk for a big chunk of the first half, the fight they showed, that was a fun watch last night. Fun watch.
Except they were down by 12 the whole game.
Well, they still found a way. Keep it into it. Interesting.
Brian Bulaga did not
Pascal
join us.
Pascal hits that big three ball to go back up 5. Big old three ball.
Hey, old boy. When you're done with the 10 o'clock hour, tease the start of the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to leave because you just won't stop.
Playoff
so let
possible.
Me know.
No, I'm done.
I'll
stop
be back.
Pouting.
Nope. See ya. Bye.
All right. Wildy's pouting. We got a bunch of trivia coming up. I don't know if Jesse's doing double trivia. And I really want to get Jason to say one way or the other and stop hedging. Are the groceries that Brian Gutekunst has put in Matt LaFleur's kitchen, are they good enough to win? I want him to give me a yes or no answer. Lord knows if that'll happen. We'll do that in 2 minutes.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.